And we want to say welcome back to the Heights Podcast. At Heights Baptist Church, our mission is to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ. In this podcast, we like to talk about issues that involve faith, culture, and the church. My name is Matt Hogan. I'm one of the pastors here at Heights. And I'm joined this week by Pastor Jonathan McMeans, who is our pastor to students. And so one of the things I love about getting a chance to get together with you and talk is, like, I love to find out what it is that my kids are into. Okay. And, or help me understand the teenagers and preteens that live inside my house, because they're more and more of a mystery to me every single day. And absolutely. So I always like to have these conversations because I'm like, Jonathan, what are the kids into now? And so last night, they came home from midweek and they said, tonight we talked all about TikTok. And I said, TikTok? Brilliant. I think I've heard of TikTok. I personally have never actually used the TikTok app. But I am familiar with, like, short form video content, because, of course, you know, that TikTok content, it gets, you know, on the TikTok app, but also you see that there's YouTube Shorts, there's Facebook Reels, and what's it called on Instagram? Don't use Instagram.
I don't. Yeah.
You don't watch videos on Instagram.
I don't watch videos much at all. I do try to dabble a little bit in TikTok, mostly looking up stuff that I would want to challenge, mm-hmm. Which is what spurred me to do my series. I do it probably once a quarter, but I call it According to TikTok. And what I do is I find a video that is contrary to what the Bible seems to teach. It could be somebody of an alternative lifestyle that's giving rationale for why the Bible doesn't exist or isn't or shouldn't be followed. It could be somebody taking a verse out of context, which is incredibly common. Mm-hmm. Or it could be somebody that is just bringing a really, really toxic worldview to our young people. Mm-hmm. And the thing about short form videos is we live in a culture that's, I've been saying this for years, even before TikTok, we live in a microwave society where mm-hmm. we want our food to be done in 30 seconds, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now that we're wanting educational videos or even content coming our way, the long form discussions are becoming less and less popular, and the short form videos are incredibly popular. But what they do is they convince kids really quickly to have not only questions, but in some instances even abandon some worldview that they hold, or crack the foundation of, is the Bible true? Is mm-hmm. is God real? Does were we created from or by a creator, or have we just always been, or anything like that? But there's always interesting videos that I can find. I tend to look for ones with over a million views. TikTok is incredibly popular. Most teenagers that I know that have a device has TikTok. If your student has a device, it is probably about a 90% chance that they have TikTok on their phone, have it as a device. Some people would say that's incredibly scary, but you know, that's what this discussion's for, is to talk about it.
I was reading an article yesterday, and they were saying that the average teenager consumes approximately 90 minutes of TikTok a day.
Wow.
And yeah. that actually sounded low to me. Like, sure. I was expecting the number to be a lot higher. But of course, if you think about that, like, if you kind of put that number in context, I mean, 90 minutes, that's like 1.5 or maybe 2 episodes of a show. If you're streaming, if you're watching Netflix or Disney Plus or something like that. But like you said, because of the short form content, that could be dozens or many dozens, maybe not hundreds, but it could be many dozens of videos.
Right.
And the thing that is amazing to me about that short form video content, that TikTok content, is like, it doesn't take, they're very persuasive.
Right.
You know, and it's like something about like a camera and some decent lighting and this person, and there's like text on the screen, and all of a sudden the person that's on the other side of that screen is an authority on their subject, whether it's, you know, fall fashions or how to make this kind of a meal or relationship advice. I mean, I know I don't watch TikTok per se, but I've definitely fallen down the rabbit hole of like Facebook Reels.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very familiar with like the doom scrolling where like you just click on one video and then you just keep, you know, and you just keep like swiping and swiping and swiping and just watching whatever like the algorithm is picking out for you. And it's very easy, like subliminally, like I know like this person is making an argument to me in 10 seconds and they're trying to sell me something or, you know, trying to convince me of something. But like on a visceral level, like on a subconscious level, like the words that these people are speaking or the product that they're selling is very powerful.
Right. I think the concept of the algorithm is really important. As social medias have evolved over my lifetime, we have seen much better algorithms, but not only better algorithms at giving you content that you want to ingest, but also better algorithms at giving you content that they want you to ingest.
Gotcha.
Right?
And when you say they, do you mean creators or the platform or
I mean, usually it's the platform that's going to, because the creators are just going to be the one video.
Gotcha. Okay.
But when you respond to one video, the platform has 10 more in mind that are similar to it.
Right.
And if you liked this one, you might like these. But sometimes it's going to try to give you things that align more with a different view than one that you might hold to. Like sometimes it can try to persuade it. The platform is not an unbiased agent.
Right.
And none of them ever have been. Mm-hmm. And so just a brief history. I grew up in a pretty conservative household, but my parents didn't want to, raise me in the Stone Ages, if you will. And so all of this stuff was brand new. And so I did, from the early days, I had a MySpace. I was in chat rooms. I was talking on AOL Messenger.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
MSN and all of those things. I had a Facebook back when you had to have a college email address in order to join it. And the next year was when they took that away and my mom got onto it.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh,
party's over.
Man, my mom is on the Facebook. This is the worst. And I've had Instagram. I've been, you know, so I've been on social media for the majority of my life at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've learned is, there's nothing new under the sun. I think the Bible teaches something about that. Mm-hmm. But social medias, like platforms, rise and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And every time one rises, there are a whole lot of voices that will talk about how dark or scary or manipulative it is. And I believe that all three of those things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they necessarily have to have the impact that the platform even wants to have. I have conversations with students about content that they've seen on social media, on TikTok. And that's what really spurred that series that I've done, where I take the TikTok videos, I play the TikTok videos, as long as it's appropriate to play. And I play the TikTok video for students, and then I have a rebuttal of that TikTok video. So,
yeah, it's so interesting. So I remember when I was teaching school when I first started my career, MySpace was just catching on.
Sure.
And all the junior hires were getting on MySpace, and it was very new. And I was teaching for a Christian school at the time. And there was it was a small Christian school, and there was a whole big group of kids that got on MySpace and started swapping stories and opinions about their teachers and their parents and what they were up to on the weekends. And this little Christian school ended up expelling a very large chunk of their ninth grade class one year based on behavior and, you know, and communication and stuff that was on MySpace.
Right.
And it was like, it was a whole paradigm shift, because it was the first time these kids were starting to understand that when you put stuff on social media, it's out there on the internet for everybody to see.
Right.
And that was a real struggle. I remember there were some parents that were really unhappy at some of the decisions that private school made.
Right.
As far as, you know, what behavior was going to be appropriate online for social media, because they were saying, well, no, this is private. And you're like, no. If it's accessible to the public, if it's social media, then yeah, you can't be saying certain things or calling people certain names or some of that stuff, you know, and be a student here. And so it was a very weird time. It was one of those cultural shifts.
Right.
You know, and for me now as a parent, like, I think of myself as a very online person. I'm on YouTube constantly. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I dabble in Twitter. You know, I spend a large chunk of my day on the internet.
Right.
And yet, like, when it comes to like TikTok, I feel like I know next to nothing about it. And I know it's something that my kids are into. You know,
right.
My teenagers and my preteens are all into TikTok, whether it's like unboxing videos or cake decorating videos or makeup tutorials or, you know, just odds and ends of stuff that they've come across. And so for me, all I can think of is as a parent who thinks of himself as a pretty like with it online presence, I'm like, man, this TikTok thing is like a black box to me. Like, how do I familiarize myself with what's going on enough that I can feel good about like what my kids are being exposed to, you know, when it comes to stuff like TikTok?
Yeah. So one of the things that I regularly tell parents is make an attempt to know what your kid is doing online. Mm-hmm. You are a gatekeeper to your child, mm-hmm. to your child's worldview, and really to their world in general. Mm-hmm. And so what they ingest, you can't be the filter of everything, because there will come a point in time where you're not anymore.
Right.
And something that's been filtered all the way through, when the filter comes off, everything goes in.
Right.
I could have stories about that. But I think oftentimes what happens is the most common response is parents saying, well, I don't really want to learn it. Hmm. You know, like I don't want to learn this thing that my kids are on. It's overwhelming to me. I don't. And I would say to those parents, number one, try to make an attempt, mm-hmm. to familiarize yourself with what your children are doing, what they're, what they are ingesting. And then also I wanted to say, even if you're unable or unwilling to download the TikTok app because of convictions or something you saw in the news about the app or something about who owns it or anything in that vein, have conversations with your kids about the types of things that they're watching. Mm-hmm. And also, this one's harder to do, and so I'm not going to claim to be an expert on this, but have conversations with your kids about the types of things that are on the internet in general.
Oh, wow.
That's just internet. That's internet safety 101. Mm-hmm. It applies to all of the social medias. There are very worldly views demonstrated on Facebook and X and Instagram and YouTube. And so it's not new that there's heavy content for minors on those platforms, and it's also not new that parents are reluctant to learn new technology.
Right.
My parents would have had no idea what a MySpace was. Mm-hmm. They read articles about how scary MySpace was, and my oldest sister talked them into letting her have one anyways. And being the youngest, by default, I ended up with one as well when I got to a certain age. But over the course of time, I think it's really important for us to know what our kids are taking in online, but mm-hmm. also what they're capable of taking in online. Not mm-hmm. not what you think that your precious angel would watch, mm-hmm. but what about something that just the algorithm throws at them next?
Right.
You know? And yeah. algorithms aren't new to TikTok.
So I know, like, as a parent, filters are great.
Yes.
Parental controls are great. Mm-hmm. Spot checking, search history is great.
Sure.
All of those things I think are good, healthy things to do as mm-hmm. a parent. The other side of that, at least for me, having conversations with my kids, particularly my two oldest, is to just say, hey, I want you to make wise choices about what you look at on the internet.
Right.
And I've started those conversations relatively early with my kids. You know, I'm not waiting until like they're at a certain age where I think it might be a problem. Like we started having those conversations before junior high.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, like you mentioned, at the end of the day, someday my kids are going to be the ones who are in control of what gets filtered and what gets watched. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm, while I think it is important to like, to utilize parental controls and safety and screen time and all of that stuff, like yes. at the end of the day, my kids are going to have to grow up to be individuals who are going to make wise choices about how they use the internet.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't just mean, you know, looking at naughty stuff. It also means like how you use social media.
Right.
You know, are you going to use social media to speak life into people, or are you going to use it to tear people down?
Absolutely.
You know, and those are conversations that we need to start having now.
Yes.
So that my kids, male and female, grow up understanding like the internet is a powerful, powerful tool. And it can be used for good, and it can be used for not so good. And right. so that's been something I've gotten into the habit as a parent, as I'm walking out the door, even though we have filters, even though I check history, even though I keep an eye on those things, I say, hey, let's make wise choices.
Right. And I think that all of those are good practices. I really do. And, you know, one bit of information, if they've got an iPhone, I've never really been into Android, but on iPhone, I know that there is screen time mm-hmm. Where you can see the apps that have been used and how long they've been opened. And so I would say add that to a regular list of things checked. And if it says that they spent 90 minutes on TikTok today, you know, don't necessarily go in and say, how dare you watch 90 minutes of TikTok today, unless they're grounded or not supposed to be on it, then it's your prerogative. But instead of going in the argumentative and then the negative, instead say, hey, saw you spend some time on TikTok today. What'd you watch?
Yeah.
What'd you learn today? Like, help me understand this platform a little bit better. And be honest with your kid. I don't know much about the platform. Tell me, tell me what it was. If I spent 90 minutes on Netflix and I watched 3 episodes of Stranger Things or whatever, I could tell you what I watched, and I could kind of tell you plot points. I could tell you main ideas mm-hmm. and be willing to have basic, simple human conversations with your young teenager or your preteen as they're going through what can be very murky waters at times
right.
of the content that's on there. I was reading an article this week from the Wall Street Journal that was talking about how TikTok can be basically sending a lot of dark ideas mm-hmm. toward teenagers and towards young people. And because so many of Gen Z and the following generations are on TikTok so much, it can be overwhelming. There are dark things on the internet, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. And it's not our job to necessarily be the world's content police, but it is our job to be the guardians and the shepherds of our family and our children's minds, and to have an idea of what's going in and how can I, as an influencer in my child's life, I might never get a million views, but I am a bigger influencer to my child than the influencer that did get a million views. How am I going to influence them to counterbalance some of the content that may have already been ingested. Mm-hmm. But don't be the naive parent that would say my child would never watch a video about it. In that specific article, it talked about how they created 8 different fake accounts that were made up 13-year-olds from all over the world. And in each one of them, within 10 minutes, there was a short that came about body image and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And each one of those clicked the video. That's it. The algorithm automatically says, this is the kind of video that they're into. And when they did that, they were bombarded with videos about self-image, self-esteem, and then the rabbit hole gets darker and darker and darker the deeper you go. And within 30 minutes, each of the 8 were having videos about self-harm and in some cases, even suicide.
Oh, wow.
And so there are heavy concepts on social media that is not new to TikTok. Know what's going on in the life of your child. Know what's going on the internet with your child. As best as you can, know what it is that they're taking in, and be willing to have conversations, even basic conversations about what they're bringing in.
You know, you mentioned screen time a minute ago, and I was just thinking about that. And we exercise that at our house because we've got Apple products. But sometimes, like, I don't have any screen time like limits for myself.
Sure.
I know my wife does because she's way more organized than I am. But one of the things that I have noticed, one of the things for me that is different about short form video content, like TikTok or Reels, usually Reels are the ones that I'm kind of like as I'm scrolling through Facebook, or I'm usually those are the ones that I end up watching. I find them to be an enormous black hole of like wasted time. Like when I go to YouTube, I go to YouTube very intentionally. I'm either searching for something specific, you know, I'm looking for a video about a particular topic, or if I go to the YouTube homepage, like I'm looking for new content from certain people that I subscribe to. Like I've got, you know, people that I follow. I got people that I follow in the guitar world and the church tech world and, you know, in different things that I'm interested in. And that's the content that I want to see. When I fall down the rabbit hole of like Facebook Reels or something, like I'm just scrolling.
Right.
Like I don't have a plan. Like I'm just like, I clicked on one video and then moved my thumb and then another video popped up. And it's like, and I've not, at least I've not consciously told the algorithm what I'm into. I know that I'm telling it what I'm into all the time by the fact that I'm watching it.
Right.
Like I know that's how the algorithm works in the background, but just what I notice about myself is like there's no plan. And if there's a time when I like look up from my phone and I'm like, oh, holy smokes. Like that was a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like the Facebook Reels or something,
sure.
You know, some of that short form kind of TikTok type content.
Right.
So like as an adult, I mean, obviously as a kid, you can put some guardrails on that, like with screen time and stuff like that. As an adult, like what are some ways that we can be kind of a little more careful about being good stewards of our time? You know, even beyond like the, is this content appropriate conversation? Like, am I wasting too much? Am I giving too much of my time to the algorithm?
Yeah, I think that's something a lot of people struggle with. I know that you're definitely not alone in that. And I would say that guardrails are great for adults too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thankful that, I'm thankful when I'm going down the highway that the guardrails just don't pop up on bridges for 16-year-olds that are learning to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm thankful that they're there for me as well. And I hope to never hit them, but I'm thankful that they're there. I think in the same way when we're teaching our students how to navigate, we talk to them and teach them about guardrails that are there to keep us safe. But as adults, we need things to keep us safe as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying safe from mature content.
Right.
I know that adults struggle with anxiety and depression and thoughts of depression, self-harm. I know that that mental illness is not just a young generation thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's also not the only content that's spewing out of all of these different social media platforms. We need to have guardrails in place that deal with our time. We need to have guardrails in place that deal with our spiritual walks as well. And I think a lot of times when we have these guardrails in place that help us manage our time better and manage our walks with Christ better, I think we're going to find ourselves wasting a lot less time on really mindless doom scrolling.
Yeah, definitely. Can you think of some examples of some ways that TikTok or other kind of like short-term video content can be used like in a positive way?
Sure. I know that there are going to be good creatives out there. There are going to be short-form videos are great for learning to do something, mm-hmm. Learning to cook something, learning to make something, learning how to tie a tie, learning how to change a tire.
And they're all called hacks. Yes. That's what I found out.
Life hacks. That's a very 10-year-old term, but I love it. I'm here for it. You're talking to a millennial and
everything is a hack now.
Yes. Well, it was a hack 10 years ago. Now it's, yeah.
What are they calling it now?
I don't even know, man. I don't think they still call them life hacks. They might call them life hacks still. Maybe I'm the one that's, yeah. But here's the thing. When I think that there can be really positive content on mm-hmm. social media as well. I would be willing to bet that most of the people that follow Heights are following Heights on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. Well, spoiler alert, all of those are social media platforms.
This is true.
All of those are social media platforms that upon creation had very solid pushback from well-meaning parents mm-hmm. about the content that was available on them. And you're finding this content that I hope is uplifting on those platforms. And I know that platforms like TikTok have good content as well. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of negative content. There are a lot of contrary worldviews. There are a lot of dark rabbit holes that you can go down really quick, but there are also some very uplifting, positive messages to be found there. And really, if in some instances, if we're going to make a solid impact in the life of teenagers, we need to have more positive creators that go into dark places. We can be missionaries online as well. And so I'm a big advocate for that.
I like that. So to kind of sort of summarize what we've talked about today, new developments in social media are not new.
Not new.
Like there's always going to be something new. Being a little bit afraid or being unfamiliar with the territory in social media, that's also not new.
Right.
But we as parents and just we as believers have a responsibility to be vigilant about the content that's going on in our houses, whether we're talking about the content for our own devices, but especially for the content for our children.
Absolutely.
And so rather than saying we're just not going to have that content in the house, we're not going to have those devices in the house, we're not going to have that app in the house, it makes more sense to meet our kids where they are because they're going to be swimming in this. They're living in a life that's just filled with video content all the time. And for us to be aware of what's out there,
right,
but also specifically aware of what our kids are watching.
Yes.
And so that we can have conversations about those, because someday they're going to grow up and they're going to need to be making wise choices about social media all on their own.
Yes.
You know, and so as my job as a parent is not to just say that we're not going to have that in my house. It's better to say, what are we learning? What kind of messages are involved there?
Right.
You know, and I loved it. You showed me a clip of one that you played yesterday, and you just told me exactly what the mantra is on Wednesday night, which is when anytime somebody is making a point about just one verse of the Bible, what's the magic word? What do they always say?
And all of the students will respond, never read one Bible verse.
Never read just one Bible
That's
verse.
Right.
Yeah, because That's right. The first thing that we learn about how to study the Word of God is that context is key.
Context. Absolutely.
And so if somebody's on TikTok saying, hey, the Bible says blah, 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 I have a verse.
Yes.
You say, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's zoom out a little bit. Let's read the verse before and after and try and place this verse in its context.
Right.
And sometimes that video can be kind of deceptive.
Right. And, you know, I'm bragging for a moment. Our student ministry is really clicking, doing really good things, not only in numbers growth, but also seeing them respond to things. I mean, we're talking about really, really next level concepts. Mm-hmm. We're talking about objective truth. We're talking about subjective truth. We're talking about hermeneutics. We're talking about all of these worldviews and counter worldviews and atheism and agnosticism and all of these differing views that I think a lot of parents might not even be able to know all of the concepts that we're dealing with. But these students are sharp. They're clicking with it. They're getting it and they're understanding it. And I'm really hoping that it's making an impact as they're seeing content like the videos that I've debated in the student ministry, where when they see content like that, they start having their own debate with the video that they're watching, where they don't need me to do it for them, mm-hmm. but they start to be able to pick up on some of those challenges themselves.
I love it. I love it. And I, as a parent with two kids that are involved in the student ministry, am very, very, very thankful for it. Yeah. Pastor Jonathan, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah,
and it was good to talk about social media a little bit, especially that whole world of TikTok. And I want to say thanks to our audience for joining us for this conversation today. And we would encourage you to follow Heights Baptist Church on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And I think Pastor Lee's on TikTok.
Yes, he does dad jokes.
We need to give Pastor Lee a shout out. If you want to, if you're on TikTok, make sure that you follow Pastor Lee on TikTok. We worship every Sunday morning at our Alvin campus on the south side of Houston. We have worship services at 10:30 a.m. We have life groups for all ages at 9 a.m. And we would love to worship with you in person. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can, of course, follow us on social media, but you can also find out more at heightschurch.org. We'll see you next time.